Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 88 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I am your host and humble guide, Keela Cash. Thank you so much for joining me as week 147 of WrestleTopia continues. Happy Thursday morning, afternoon, and evening to you all as another busy week in the worlds of WWE and AEW continues. And last night was AEW Dynamite going down live from the Total Mortgage Arena in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And this is one half of our go-home show before Full Gear going down this Saturday live from the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. And I thought this was a very good go-home show heading into Saturday's pay-per-view. Good matches up and down the card and a really strong promo from Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, which screamed babyface for the first time in 2 years. But I'll get to all of that shortly as we kick things off with a tag team match involving the Ocho himself, the Ring of Honor World Champion Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara versus a team of Claudio Castagnoli and Bryan Danielson from the Blackpool Combat Club. This was a really fun match. We started off with the action on the floor and in the ring as Claudio delivered European uppercuts to Chris Jericho, where Danielson would kick and chop the shit out of Sammy Guevara. Eventually, things got a bit even when Danielson goes for a Romero special on Sammy Guevara before making the hot tag to Claudio. And Claudio and Sammy go back and forth for a bit until Claudio delivers a beautiful delayed vertical suplex to Sammy. And he does a little bit of some knee bends back and forth to show off his core a bit before dropping Sammy. And then he does the same to Chris Jericho in a great spot as well. Eventually, Sammy is going to take another beating from Bryan Danielson with more kicks and strikes in the corner. And as Danielson goes for his running drop kicks 3 times in the corner, Sammy sidesteps him with the drop to hold in 2, the second turnbuckle. And behind the referee's back, Chris Jericho is going to check Danielson with a bat shot to the face behind the referee's back as we go to a picture-in-picture commercial break. We come back and Danielson makes a pretty good babyface comeback by flipping out of the corner and landing a flying elbow on Jericho before making the hot tag to Claudio. Claudio rocks Jericho with a series of European uppercuts, including one of the springboard variety, before going for the big swing. Sammy Guevara breaks it up and delivers a nasty flip dive on the outside to Bryan Danielson, which kind of pops the crowd as Jericho applies the walls of Jericho. But Danielson makes a save by delivering a drop kick to Jericho to break the submission hold. From there, Jericho and Danielson tag out to Guevara and Danielson respectively, as Danielson goes after Guevara with several forearm strikes and more kicks in the corner until Guevara goes for the eyes, goes for the GTH, but Danielson is going to roll through into the LaBelle lock, but Guevara grabs the ropes to break the submission attempt. From there, things get really, really good as they fight on the top ropes, and Guevara has been gnawing at the forehead of Danielson throughout this match due to their 2 out of 3 falls match last week during the main event of Dynamite when Sammy busted Danielson open with the microphone shot to the head. So he goes for a super cutter on Danielson from the top rope. It was gorgeous. As Jericho follows through with the Lion's Saw a short time later for a near fall, which is broken up by Claudio, Danielson recovers, and Jericho and the American Dragon went back and forth. I assume Danielson was going for the Busaku knee, but both men collide into each other as there's a double down spot in the ring. Eventually, Claudio gets the hot tag, and Jericho is more focused on grabbing Floyd the baseball bat to cheat instead of making the tag to Sammy, which allows Danielson to sail through the ropes and wipe out Sammy with a tope on the outside in a great spot. But as Jericho goes for Floyd, Claudio catches him and he swings Jericho around a good 20 times. Claudio's core strength is ridiculous. Jericho holds the baseball bat in his hand the entire time, which I laughed at. And he's still trying to take a swing at Claudio, but Claudio is going to transition to the sharpshooter and he takes a baseball bat to flex while cranking the submission. And Jericho has no choice but to tap out as the Blackpool Combat Club scores a big win over the Ocho, the Ring of Honor World Champion, ahead of the 4-way match for the title this Saturday at Full Gear on pay-per-view. Really fun match. Loved it from start to finish. And I expect this match for the Ring of Honor Championship to be a show stealer come Saturday night. Next up is Anthony Bowens versus Swerve Strickland. This match was fairly one-sided as Swerve took it to Bowens with a nasty kick to the face followed by a Fosbury flop on the outside. Then he suplexes Bowens on the edge of the barricade and dude goes into the crowd and we go picture in picture and he is selling his back because that shit had to hurt. Eventually Bowens tries to make a very valiant babyface comeback by going for an angle slam for a near fall and a back elbow, but ultimately Strickland is going to answer back with a brainbuster and a kill shot house call for 2. to, and he adds insult to injury by disgustingly stomping on the right shoulder of Bowens before going up top of the Swerve Stomp for the win, a very dominant win for Swerve heading into the final rematch between the Acclaimed and Swerve in Our Glory at Full Gear for the AEW World Tag Team titles. This could be another show stealer. Their match at All Out was incredible. The one on Ash was pretty good. It was a couple of hiccupy moments that killed the crowd a bit until the Acclaimed won the belts from Swerve and Keith Lee, but the story heading into this match will be the dynamic between Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, because they've not been on the same page as of late. Who's turning on who and for what reason, we might find out come Saturday night, but it should be a very fun match nonetheless. Next up is Britt Baker talking her shit and backing it up. And she basically had a rebuttal for what Saraya had to say about her last week when it comes to not being a star, because she has only been around for 3 years and she hasn't had matches at Madison Square Garden or Sumo Hall. And Britt fired back by saying, listen, I've put in the work for 3 years. I was one of the first signees to be a part of All Elite Wrestling. I was wide-eyed, I was inexperienced, and I had to work from the bottom to where I am today to really find myself as a wrestler and to be a pillar and the heartbeat and face of this company in a lot of ways. I've made history. I've done what I needed to do to be the very best. And you might have had MSG, but I had Daily's Place, a place where we could go every Wednesday night when no one was there at the time. And I still delivered every single night, put my blood, sweat, and tears into this for the love of this, to keep the art of professional wrestling alive. So you might have experience over me, and you've accomplished a lot, and I respect that. I respect you overcoming your addictions. I respect the fact you're coming back from a debilitating neck injury, but you're living in the past. And you're trying to make up for lost time, but you're not going to do it at my expense, because I am the presence. And there's a reason why the people out there call me Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. They know me. They respect me. They know the work I put into this. So don't diss me because of who you are and what you think I am not. And I thought Britt Baker possibly cut one of her best promos. And it was totally a babyface promo to say, put some respect on my name. I've been a champion. I've headlined shows. I've put in the work. I've gotten better. I found myself in 3 years. That's called growth. It's called evolving and changing the game and letting Saraya know this is my house just as much as you think it's yours. And I loved that energy. And for some reason, she's a babyface. And dare I say, the dynamic for this match between Britt and Saraya is going to be pretty Britt heavy in her favor, because they rock with Britt. And Saraya's delivery last week was nice, but don't diss Britt because she has put in the work. I've had my issues with her, championship reign that felt kind of so-so due to lack of quality opponents outside of Thunder Rosa and Riho. I'm right to that opinion. And it was due to the wrist injury mostly, but I wanted a bit more from that reign besides it being lengthy. I wanted great standout matches. I got maybe 2 or 3 of them, and that's just facts. But when it comes to mic work and presence, Britt's got that all day, every day. I want to see that reflected in possibly her biggest match to date against Saraya when there's no championship on the line. Saraya's first match back in a ring in nearly 5 years. Will they deliver in a couple of days' time? We shall see. But Britt delivered a great promo as a babyface, as a final hard sell for their match in 2 days' time. Next up is Tony Schiavone introducing the Ring of Honor television champion Samoa Joe down to the ring to explain himself for turning on Wardlow last week. And Samoa Joe basically said, listen, he thought he was the best. He thought that nobody could touch him. And he shoved me. He dismissed me. He disrespected me. He basically said that I wasn't on his level, so I taught him a lesson. And if anybody got a problem with that, please come out and let me know. So Powerhouse Hobbs comes out to confront Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse says, cut off my music. He's ready for a fight. Then Wardlow's music hits, and Samoa Joe, ever the wily veteran, is looking at his peripheral vision to see if somebody's going to attack him from behind. Sure enough, Wardlow comes through and spears Samoa Joe. Powerhouse gets in there. We got a 3-way big hoss battle. The locker room clears out to break up this fight, but fucking Wardlow delivers a picture perfect flip dive on the outside that wipes out everybody on the floor, and it's just beautiful. He is a freak of nature when it comes to agility and speed and flight. It's highly underrated, and underestimated. And I am looking forward to seeing Samoa Joe, Wardlow, and Powerhouse Hobbs fight it out for the Ring of Honor and TNT titles very soon, because I truly believe we could have an epic Big Hoss battle on our hands with Lucha Wardlow coming through with hurricanranas, flip dive, setons, and everything in between, because he's that damn good. Samoa Joe's a badass, and Powerhouse Hobbs is in the best shape of his life that can go beat for beat as well. So please make this match ASAP, preferably at Full Gear. Fingers crossed. Next up is a trios match for the Trios Championship involving Death Triangle's The Bastard Pack, Rey Fénix and Pitbull Zero M versus the returning Top Flight, Dante and Darius Martin, alongside AR Fox. And this match was spectacular in terms of high-flying spots. Darius did not miss a beat against Rey Fénix. They just basically traded spots and counters for the first couple of minutes. Eventually, the action picks up with Dante Martin doing some great things, including a wall walk into a no handed leapfrog that sent Penta on the outside. And Fox and Pack worked great together as well, as they both did flips to avoid each other at first, with Fox hitting a jump kick and a cutter that sent Pack on the outside, followed by a moonsault and a senton atomico in the ring as well for two. The match breaks down with Top Flight launching Pack into the air with top speed as AR Fox drops his ass with a cutter. It was incredible. Popped me and the crowd as well. But as they go for a triple dive on the outside, Death Triangle comes back and they super kick all of them, and they are going to wipe out Fox with a Cazador splash and moonsault combo for a two count as we go to commercial break. We come back and Darius gets the hot tag and he drops Pac with the brain buster for a near fall. We get a reverse waist locking. His own brother leaps frog over Rey Fénix in a great spot as Pac nearly takes out Fénix with a kick, but he pulls back at the last minute. But in doing so, Darius and Dante do this tandem DDT spinning slam spot to Fénix and Pac respectively, as Penta was wiped out with a dive courtesy of Darius Martin. Dante lands a no hand driver on Pac and Fénix as well. Fox is going to deliver an inverted flip dive that wipes out Death Triangle on the outside. Tony Schiavone compared this to a diving competition at the Olympics, and that's very common. But the platform springboard, you do a tuck like that and you wipe out in the water in a very graceful way. But the way that AR Fox did it was crazy, on top of everybody on the outside, as he scored tens across the board. So they actually gets back in the ring and AR Fox puts on a goddamn show by delivering a top rope Spanish fly to Rey Fénix, followed by a picture perfect 450 splash for a near fall. Eventually Penta and Fénix wipe out Dante and Darius Martin, and they take out Fox with a combo fear factor, double foot stomp. Pac goes up top, lands a black arrow on AR Fox to retain the Trios Championship, and the Bastard alongside Death Triangle call out a certain trio who've been leaking videos as of late hinting of their demise and resurrection in AEW. I am talking about the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks, the first ever Trios champion in AEW. They were stripped of the titles a few days later due to the infamous backstage fight with CM Punk post All Out. And they have been back from suspension for a few weeks. They've been working backstage behind the scenes, and they've been prepped for this return to Full Gear for weeks now, and it is official. It will be the Elite versus the Death Triangle for the Trios Championship this Saturday at Full Gear. That should be an absolutely amazing match. The heat for this particular matchup should be electric, with the Elite being back on TV for the first time in 2 months. And it's going to be the first telltale reaction of how the crowd perceives and receives the Elite. Will there be unanimous cheers or boos in between? Because you still have a pocket of CM Punk supporters out there. They're going to be ride or die for him all day. So we'll see how those reactions flow in New York, New Jersey come Saturday night. But that should be a spectacular matchup in a couple of days' time. Next up is Ego Ethan Page versus Bandido in the next round of the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament. And this match was really good down the stretch, as it was kind of slow early on, but the pace quickened when Bandido delivered the ring post moonsault to Ethan Page on the outside that got this crowd going. He goes for the 21 plex, but that is broken up by Page, who lands a cutter and goes up top to go for an avalanche. Ego's edge once again, like he did to Eddie Kingston days prior on Rampage, but Bandido countered the razor's edge from the top rope in midair with a hurricanrana that popped me and the crowd. Then he ups the ante by lifting up Page with the greatest of ease into a military press, one arm slammed his ass on the mat, followed by a top rope frog splash on Page for a near fall. The crowd is going crazy at this point, so am I, but Page fights back with a slam and a shoulder tackle off the top rope, and ultimately a standing Eagle's Edge in the ring to Bandido to advance the finals of the Eliminator Tournament at Full Gear this Saturday on pay-per-view. Really good matchup. I like Ego Ethan Page a lot, but to me, he's not over right now as he should be, and that's no fault of his own. It's due to shoddy booking by AEW over the last year or so, and I think the hot hand right now would have been Bandido, a guy that's incredibly popular and over with the people, that can go in the ring, that can give you moments. And I just think that a Bandido Ricky Starks final would have been a bit more sexier on paper, but we'll see how it all goes as we head into the finals of this tournament at Full Gear this weekend. Next up is the interim AEW Women's World Champion Toni Storm versus Anna Jay from the Jericho Appreciation Society. This match was just all right. A lot of rest holds during the picture-in-picture commercial break as Anna Jay slams Toni Storm with the gurry bomb on the floor. But Toni fights back as always with the hip attack in the corner, and she is going to lock in a standing cloverleaf on Anna Jay for the quick submission win. A short time later, Jamie Hayter comes out to confront her opponent for the Women's Championship at Full Gear as they go face to face, and Jamie shoves Toni a bit to send the message she's got next for that title come Saturday night. And I really hope that Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter have a good spot on the card to have a good match with heat. It's so important because these AEW pay-per-views can run a very long time, and the crowd can be hot from 7:30 to around 10, and they can go to sleep for 90 minutes, wake up before the main event, and they're ready to go. But you have to position this match with Storm and Hayter in a strong position, because the fans want Hayter to kind of win this thing. They like Toni, but they like Jamie a bit more. Put them in a prominent spot for them to get over, for them to have a good match at about 10, 12, 15 minutes tops, and give them something to work with. That's all I ask. You have the pieces there to deliver a moment, but it's all about match placement and timing at the end of the day. And now it is time for our main event segment involving the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. And he's talking that talk about MJF and himself as he says, I am the best professional wrestler in the world today. I'm the baddest son of a bitch in the game as well. And I thrive off of pain and punishment. I'm addicted to it. And I got an opponent, MJF, that might not feel the same way. He does a song and dance here. He beats a young boy there from my crew in New Japan. And then he pulls a Brian Pillman and he goes ghost for months. Comes back in a mask and he is lazily awarded a poker chip by his friends. And one of the worst ladder match finishes in history. That's my opponent. I'm supposed to be quaking in my boots for a Full Gear for my championship. When he cashes in, I don't think so. He's got a lot to prove to me and to all of you. So it's not going to be Maxwell challenging me. It's me challenging Maxwell. So please come out and please prove me wrong. Show me something I haven't seen before from you. So Stokely Hathaway comes out and we get the firm attacking Mox in the ring. Max comes out looking really good and in shape with a wife beater and really tight pants. I'm looking respectfully. He's in great shape and he is just kind of lightly beating up the firm with low blows to Morrissey and Ego Ethan Page. Very light taps that looked a little bit unconvincing to me in terms of being a savior, the devil saving somebody. That's a stretch. But he says, I'm not saving you because I like you, Mox. I need you to be at your best for a championship match this Saturday at Full Gear, because it's not going to be the same kid that challenged you 2 years ago at All Out. I know better now. You can snap, crackle, and pop me all you want. You can torture me. You can make me bleed. You can do your absolute worst, but I won't give up because I want what you have, which is that championship over your shoulder, because that means you're the very best and I want to be the best. I live and breathe professional wrestling. It's my goal to be the very best there is in this industry. And I gotta beat you to do it. I need that championship more than I need food, water, and oxygen at this point. I need it to survive. I need it to be the symbolism of greatness in this business. And you said last week that I'm not the devil, that you've met the devil, but you haven't met this devil. Because the greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing everybody that he doesn't exist. But I do, John. And I am Maxwell Jacob Freeman. I'm better than you. And before we can finish his catchphrase, Mox cuts him off and says, you know what? That doesn't impress me. You do nothing for me. And come Saturday night, the training wheels come off. Because if you think you're going to beat me for this championship without going the extra mile, you're fooling yourself. I'm going to have to dig deep in your gut to bring out a performance of a lifetime in you to prove to me you're worthy of this championship. So come Saturday, the training wheels come off and the show ends with the face-off between Mox and MJF. Very good. I will say Mox was a bit off his game, a bit stumbled a bit during his promo delivery, and he was confused as to when the match was going down. Saturday or Sunday, understandable, because these pay-per-views for AEW fluctuate between the fall and the spring, and it was a slip that was kind of funny, but I just felt like he might have been rattled by the crowd. There might have been a bit more pro MJF, and I expect that to be the case on Saturday. There is a lot of ways this match can go. I do sense this is Maxwell's time to be the champion. It's long overdue. How we get there, I do not know. The Firm, it seems like the fix is in, but I'm looking at William Regal in particular, as he is a guy that knows both guys very well in Moxley and MJF. And I go back to something that Maxwell said a few weeks ago about not needing the Dynamite Diamond Ring to beat Moxley. He's not going to win fair and square, but he'll find a way to win. And I think he might find a way via some brass knucks in the main event. But as always, we shall see. All in all, I thought this was a very solid episode of AEW Dynamite. Like the matches for the most part and the final hype for All Out heading into Rampage tomorrow night on TNT Live from the Prudential Center in New York, New Jersey. It's going to be a hot crowd both Friday and Saturday night. And this card is shaping up to be awesome. I think this might be the card of the year outside of Revolution when it's all said and done. I think the last two major pay-per-views has had clouds over them. MJF's issue at Double or Nothing, the fallout at All Out involving Punk and the Elite, that was a mess as well. And Maxwell even mentioned this in his promo last week, that my moments have been overshadowed by other people. Matt Hardy falling off the scaffold into a table and cracking his head on the floor. I lost my match to Mox at the very same show. I had my match against Cody Rhodes upstaged by Cody's neck tattoo at Revolution 2020 in Chicago. He was supposed to be the hero at Blood and Guts 1, and Jericho takes a bump off the cage, and that's the most memorable spot of the match, not MJF's victory. Then he comes back at All Out, and he's overshadowed by the fight between Punk and the Elite, so he needs his goddamn moment at Full Gear against Moxley for the AEW World Championship. I think it's Max's time now to shine, and it's all about how the match ends. We expect bullshit, we expect shenanigans, but how would the fans respond? Would they be booing him or cheering him on? Because either way, the guy is going to get a reaction, and it might be cheers when it's all said and done, because he vowed to win unfairly, but within reason, of course. All in all, this was a really strong way to end the show in terms of what's going to go down when the night settles in New York, New Jersey. And with that, this wraps up a very good episode of Dynamite heading into Full Gear this Saturday on pay-per-view. Love the maintenance hype up and down the card. And we got Rampage tomorrow night from New Jersey. Should be a lot of fun as well as we get ready for the final pay-per-view of the year for AEW. And with that, this wraps up episode number 88 of The Dynamite Effect, recapping the highs and lows from AEW Dynamite on TBS. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, you can follow me on social media at LadyWrestlingX on Twitter and or Instagram at WrestleTopia. They can find me tweeting and gramming about these podcast shows, the drop on this in my daily recapping Monday Night Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, Friday Night SmackDown on Fox, and AEW Rampage on TNT. You know what to do, search WrestleTopia and follow me on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn plus Amazon Alexa, and Spotify. I'll be back Tuesday morning with episode number 148 of The Raw Verdict, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. I have a prior commitment Friday night, which will prevent me from covering SmackDown and Rampage, but if something happens, I might pop in on Saturday morning. But until then, enjoy your Thursday, your Friday, your Saturday, and your Sunday. Stay safe out there, and don't forget to wash those hands. See you later, boys and girls. Take care.